Welcome to the Elevate Media Podcast with your host, Chris Anderson. In this show, Chris and his guests will share their knowledge and experience on how to go from zero to successful entrepreneur. They have built their businesses from scratch and are now ready to give back to those who are just starting. Let's get ready to learn, grow, and elevate our businesses. And now, your host, Chris Anderson.
All right, welcome back to another recording of the Elevate Media Podcast. I am Chris Anderson, your host. And today we're going to get into a very cool story. You know, heard of David and Goliath. It kind of ties into that a little bit. And just a comeback story, which we all love, right? And this one's no different. Plus, the expertise he brings from what he has done in business is also going to be such a great asset to you all listening today. So I'm excited to have friend Nigel Thomas on the show. Nigel, welcome to the Elevate Media Podcast today, man.
Sincerely appreciate you, Chris. And look, I know on social media, we have a lot of highlight reels and we're still through some co-promotion. We're going to clip some of this stuff up, but this is what I'll say, and this is what I'm all about, and this is what I want to bring to the table for listeners today. Entrepreneurship and business is not easy. It's hard. And in my comeback story and what I'm all about is documenting the uncut life of an entrepreneur, not just the good, but also the bad and the damn right ugly. So let's just go through it all. I'd love if you can ask me some raw questions.
Sure.
And my promise to you, Chris, and all the listeners out there today is I'll be brutally transparent on anything.
Yeah. And if you're watching this video, you'll understand how just sometimes entrepreneurship is just seat of your pants and things happen. You know, Nigel's having to hold his mic during this recording. So if the audio goes out a little bit when he's talking, he's getting excited. We're going to try to reel him back in. But sometimes you just forget your mic stand and you just got to roll with it and you got to hold it. And I think it's just a beautiful picture, you know, of entrepreneurship, even in the little things. Like sometimes you just, it's not perfect.
And, exactly. I'll tell you something else right now, and I probably shouldn't say this. We've just had to change our domain because we're building on Beehive, the newsletter we're going to talk about. And right now, unless it's changed, because I was just on my team prior to this call, the David to Goliath domain is down. It's not great being on a podcast. So I'm sure I'm link out to it, but that's what happens.
Yep.
That's literally what happens.
There's always something that comes up. And like you said, social media, you just get a snapshot. And a lot of times people only share those good snapshots instead of, you know, those moments where you're in the trenches when you're, you know, sitting in the corner of your room, just banging your head against the wall thinking, is this going to happen? Like, what do I need to do next kind of thing? And so that's why I love kind of from your perspective. And I'm trying to do a little bit more because I see that and I want to be a little bit more raw too. So, you know, hats off to you for what you're doing. So explain a little bit with this David to Goliath newsletter, like why you're doing it and what it's all about.
Yeah. So look, about 3 months ago, I was thinking about taking my own life. And obviously, there was a lot that led up to this moment, but ultimately, I lost the person that believed in me most. This was the same person, a woman, that changed me from going from someone who was super insecure, you know, incessantly bullied at school because of my skin condition, eczema, because my skin was so dry, they used to call me Krusty the Clown. And she changed me from that to become a CEO of seven-figure marketing agencies that I built from scratch with her. We went on the whole ride together. It was kind of this messed up love story. We didn't admit we loved each other. And then ultimately, she wanted commitment. She wanted a family. Things are messy. The other people in the business didn't know. And she decided to cut me off overnight. And look, I'll be transparent. It was from both parties. It wasn't just her. There was a lot to learn. But in that moment, when I was thinking about taking my own life, I said to myself, Chris, I'm not going to do this for me. I'm not going to continue for me. I'm going to come back again for everyone else who deserves a second chance in life. Because even though I lost the person that believed in me most, just like David had someone who believed in him that helped him beat the mighty Goliath with just a slingshot and a few pebbles, I had that experience. I had someone who believed in me. And that gave me belief to be able to go after, quit the 9-to-5, quit the life of mediocre at 26 years old when I didn't even know what an entrepreneur was. I had to literally Google it. Within 6 years, you know, build up a big audience or decent sized audience on LinkedIn, build all these companies from scratch. It was because she believed in me like you wouldn't believe. So I can now pass on that gift to other entrepreneurs and people who want to get, you know, go after life. And I can give them a front row seat to the chaos in the David to Goliath newsletter, where I'm documenting, like I said, everything that happens. And by the way, just for context, I quit my role as CEO of Alpha Inbound, earning a six-figure salary with not much financial backup because I wasn't the majority owner in that company. And I needed to do that because I wanted to show people that, yeah, sure, I've got experience and some skill sets, but if I'm going to do the David to Goliath thing, I'm going to come back and build 100,000 person subscriber newsletter in 1 year. I need to be in the trenches and I need to have my back up against the wall just like everyone else. Otherwise, it's not real and people would sense that.
Yeah. And I think that's great because people sometimes feel like they're alone, right, when they're doing this. So like understanding that we're all been in that those moments of back against the wall type thing and you're just documenting it. And, you know, what are some of the things that you're sharing within this newsletter and, you know, how does it benefit the entrepreneur?
Yeah, well, like I said, giving them a front row seat of the chaos. I'm talking about everything. I've literally shared my entire life story and all the things that happen, all the mistakes that we make, the fact that I'm doubting myself every single day. We talk about everything. And I also share some of the lessons that obviously we're using to build the newsletter, we're using to build the community. And then the other thing is we're actually interviewing, you know, some of the best leaders of our generation. For example, we just had Jake Carls on from Midday Squares, who went from class clown to real life Willy Wonka of a $30 million chocolate company. And just through sheer perseverance and just jumping into the unknown and conquering his demons. And then we're obviously sharing the lessons off the back of that. But I think really what it ultimately comes down to is we're giving people an environment where they can be open, they can be vulnerable, but also they can have someone who says to them, if you want to be obsessed, you want to go all in, and you want to sacrifice, that's okay. Because really, Steve Jobs said it best. The people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that do.
Yeah.
What he didn't say, Chris, is that the best ideas are found in graveyards all over our lands because people lacked the self-confidence to take a chance. And the content and the community that we're building in David to Goliath makes that chance a choice.
Yeah. And I think that's great. And I think that that is a great place for entrepreneurs starting out. I mean, we all need it, you know, and especially starting out, not to feel alone. And, you know, it's kind of one of the reasons to start the podcast was to do the same thing, bring people on like you. And all the other great guests we've had to share some of their journey, their expertise, for people to come listen and, you know, be able to grow and have that safe space to kind of listen to and understand they're not alone. Because most people, they all talk about it being hard. It might be simple, but it's still hard. And I think this is a reminder, you know, that's what it is. And, you know, I know you've grown a lot of businesses and you're like an expert in getting leads and bringing leads in and things of that nature. And we'll get into that a little bit, but you know, when the back is against the wall, you know, do people just have an inherent thing about them that allows them to fight on and not quit? Or is it a choice? Do you think it's something certain people are born with that others don't have the ability to push through those? Or do you think it's something that's a choice?
I don't believe that you're born with it. And have you seen the movie The Dark Knight Rises?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember the scene when Batman escapes the prison. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So for any of the listeners who don't, Batman has got to escape this prison. And whilst his, you know, city Gotham is burning to the ground, and he has to jump across this ledge. And he keeps jumping, holding this rope. And every single time he jumps to the rope, which is obviously safety and comfort, he fails and he falls down. And he goes back down to the bottom of the prison. He speaks to a prisoner and he says, why don't you jump without the rope and let the fear of death drive you forward to the other side? So he gets back up on the ledge. Everyone's chanting him and he just jumps without the rope and he makes it to the other side. The reason I tell that story, Chris, is because that's the exact same jump that every single entrepreneur has to go through. And the reason why that's so powerful is because regardless of how many people you speak to, regardless of how many podcasts you listen to, regardless of how many books you read, you can never, ever get someone who's going to walk up to you with an absolute guarantee of exactly how everything's going to work out. So I believe that everyone needs to take that jump, and everyone can take that jump. It's up to you, and it's a choice. And I think the message is it's a choice. Instead of thinking of people born with it or not, it's just who's willing to actually take that jump. Because most of us are brought up in environments, I know I certainly was, with parents and family members and friends who have never taken that jump. And that means that obviously they're in an environment of comfort. And whenever someone tries to stray outside of the herd, that obviously hits them on a very deep level. And then people start saying things like, you've changed. Well, my response to that is you haven't. Because at the end of the day, if you want to achieve greatness, you want to after your dreams, you're going to have to go through that uncertainty. And this is what scares most people. For David to Goliath, I've got a pretty good idea about, you know, entrepreneurs, not just entrepreneurs, people who want, you know, a front row seat of in the chaos of entrepreneurship so you can see what it's really like. But I'll be honest, Chris, and again, I probably shouldn't say this, I don't know exactly who it's for. And that's the whole point. I'm just taking massive, relentless action, and I'm going to figure it out along the way. I've taken the jump without the rope, and I'm making it to the other side. Because here in this situation, when you've got doubt, here's the solution. Because it's obviously important to give the audience a solution, right?
Yeah.
All I come back to is I ask myself two questions. One, with enough volume of inputs, because winners don't focus on outputs. They focus on inputs, which are actions that you can take every single day. And if you take enough actions to make it absolutely unreasonable that you won't hit your long-term goal, you'll be okay. So if you have enough inputs of actions for a long enough period of time, will you be able to figure it out? That's one question. The answer is yes.
Yep.
The second one, and this is a really important one, will you ever give up? And if you say no to that and you have those two things, that's very liberating. Yeah. Now you can hold your head up high, you can jump, and you can figure it out along the way. Because no one has not jumped that built that was self-made. Everyone did it.
Yep.
It's just how badly do you want it? And are you willing to jump? And the very, very last thing I'll say on this is, if you think it's painful right now, if you think it's uncomfortable, let's fast forward to the end of your life, okay? Mm. You're going to have one last breath. You're going to flash back through your entire life. And if you didn't take those jumps, whatever it might be in your life, that business you want to start, that girl you want to message, that friend that you wanted to speak to, if you didn't take those jumps, you're now, in your last moment, going to die with regret.
Mm.
And the pain of that is nothing compared to the pain that you're feeling right now when you take the jump.
Yeah. And another point to that too, you know, I think back to when I first started. So 2021, the end of 2021, and I remember, you know, being like, where am I going to make income? Like, what's going to happen? Like, and the pain back then... The pain back then of what I felt, and then fast forward to now, the pains I feel now, looking back at that in 2021, I'm like, man, that was like nothing.
Yeah.
Like, this is a whole different thing now. You know, I was heard, and people listen to the show probably are like, okay, Chris, you can stop saying this. But I've heard like new devil or new levels, new devils. Mm, but as you like level up, there's always going to be something harder. You're always going to have, you know, there's always going to be pains. And I think it's important to remember that, you know, the quote, this too shall pass. Good or bad, this is going to pass.
Mm.
You bring on that big client, hooray, celebrate it, be thankful for it, you know, but that's going to pass. Not every client lasts forever, and not many of them do if you're lucky. So, but the bad as well. So remember that when you're in the valley. this too shall pass.
Yeah.
We've all been there, right? We've lost the loved ones, you know, loss of the job, you know, negative things. People say negative stuff about us. If we have enough time and we actually take the positive steps and the action, the jumps to heal and move forward, that too shall pass. And I think we forget that sometimes when we're in the moment. And it's hard to, when you're in the moment, to realize, hey, this is going to pass. It sucks right now. You know, I hate being strapped for cash. I hate not having a bigger audience. This is hard. But if we can look at it as like a speck in our journey, be like, hey, this is where we are right now. And this is exactly where I need to be to get to that next level. And almost kind of shifts the mindset. Like, this is where I need to be. This is exactly what I have to go through, you know, to get out of the cave, to get out of that jail, just like Batman. You know, he had to go through all that to learn to become the next best version of himself. And, you know, I think we sometimes don't see it that way. And it, like I said, it's hard in the moment.
100%, man. And what's interesting is, let's say you're in a really bad moment right now. Mm-hmm. You've got a massive competitive advantage. You've got obsession. And obsession is so goddamn underrated. But the problem is society doesn't talk enough about obsession. It's putting this, obviously, like the whole work-life balance thing. Yeah. There's a place for that. There's a place for, obviously, you know, meditating more. By the way, I think meditation is a great art form, being grateful. I think you should sleep, these kind of things. But ultimately, if you have a massive goal, you got to realize it's going to be a season of life when you're going to have to go all in and be completely obsessed. If your back's up against a wall, this is your biggest competitive advantage. And fundamentally, why I believe in entrepreneurship and why I believe that it's the way we can leave the world in a better place than we found it is because what drives innovation, if you really think about it and strip it all back, it's constraint. Because yeah. When people have their back up against the wall and they have very limited resources, like David did with his slingshot and his pebbles, they think of weird and wacky ways to solve problems, right? Yeah. You know, if you needed to make rent next week, you would find a way to do it. But what does that mean? That means you can do it, right? It's just your brain was never put under that kind of pressure. So yeah. If you put yourself in that situation under that kind of pressure, your brain starts thinking differently. And if loads of people do that, that's one person. Imagine if millions of people all did that. Imagine the innovations that we would have in our world. And that's the real problem with where society is right now, in my opinion. Not enough people are uncomfortable. Yep. You have to be in that uncomfortable phase to think of these innovations. And then ultimately, sure, it's great to make money. But we think higher than that. We think about purpose and driving impact and changing lives. That's how we drive it. We drive it through the constraint. So we break all of these problems with weird and wacky ways, which turn out to be the best solutions, which move the world forward and ultimately leave it in a better place than we found it.
Yeah, I think society is just getting so, you know, comfortable being comfortable. And they don't realize the downward slope that truly is in the long run. And yeah, it's a scary thing. And I think, yeah, we just have to get used to being uncomfortable. I think as entrepreneurs, if you can't accept being uncomfortable and almost like welcome it, I think you're going to be in for an even harder journey because of that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, obviously, social media, it's a great way to grow. It's a great way to get audience. But because of the way the algorithms work, obviously, they give people a highlight reel. And I think, obviously, for people who are getting started, they don't realize that at the start, again, I fundamentally do not believe in work your entire life
right.
and work until you're 65 and then enjoy life. Like
right.
that's ridiculous, right? And when you understand how the game really works, you work really, really, really hard at the start. Then you build up assets that then compound over time. Then if you want to work, you can work, but it's a choice. But you have to understand that at the start, it's basically push and pull. Mm-hmm. You need to brute force. Push yourself because no one cares. No one cared who you are at the start.
Right.
And when I was posting on LinkedIn 2 years ago, no one cared at all. Every single post got nearly zero impressions. But guess what? I knew that long term it would catch on. And in the first year, to give an example, I went from 0 to 5,000 followers. And in the second year, I went from 5 to 43,000 followers. And that was only because of what I did in the first year. Mm. But the problem is most people aren't willing to work in the dark when no one else is looking.
Yeah.
Because that's what actually brings greatness into the light. And then obviously everyone goes overnight success. How did you do it? It's like, wow, if you'd see what I'd actually been through, you wouldn't want what I have because you wouldn't have been willing to do it in the first place.
Yeah. If you want to put in the work, they just want the results.
Yeah, exactly. Because the real work is unsexy. It's full of doubt. It's full of up and downs.
Yep.
But guess what? At the end of life, you know, here's an interesting question for you, Chris, actually. Because I don't know about me, but for me, when I look back, when you're in the moment and it's going through the struggle, it's horrible. It's not nice, right?
Right.
But I want to ask you, when you look back, do you not look at those times as some of the best times? Because I do.
Yeah, I think because, you know, that's a great question. Like looking back, yeah, it's like, those were the times where you really had to grow and expand. And even though in the moment back then it felt bad, looking back, it's like, man, like that's it. Like that's what it took to get to that next level. It's like, no, that wasn't so bad.
Yeah. But in the moment, I mean, when you look back at some of the stuff, I'm sure you did, it's like crazy shit. I'll give you one example. Alpha Inbound, the agency that I was passed in, we were about to go broke. We were about to go bust. I made this massive promise to the founder. I was going to get the company to $100,000. Didn't know exactly how I was going to do it again. I just knew I wouldn't stop until I had. But at the start, we were losing money. I was about to pull the plug on everything, right? So I made this crazy challenge. And again, we talk about constraint, right? I said, I will send out 1,000 personalized Loom videos within 3 weeks. And I massively underestimated how much effort this would take. And 3 days before the deadline was up, I still had 700 videos to record, right? And we're talking about 10 to 15 minute videos, all personalized, where I was auditing these e-commerce brands' website, and then I was sending it to them directly. So when you're on these videos, it takes a lot of energy. Like anyone who knows recorded a podcast, which obviously you will, Chris, of how much energy these things take. And I calculated if I stayed up every single hour for 3.5 days straight, that I'd be able to do it. And guess what? I did it.
Yep.
And I did it with the help of actually that woman, believe it or not, because halfway through, I lost my voice. So I was whispering on videos all the way till the end. But 3 hours before the end of the deadline, I finished all 1,000 videos. We signed 5 clients next month. We built a pipeline for 6 months. We changed the entire trajectory of our company. But here's the real thing that helped most. The conviction that I built within those 72 hours of staying up all day and all night, not sleeping, knowing that when things get so goddamn tough that I can dig so deep and figure it out, that was the real key. And that's what, when you really push through in those hard moments, you get this strange, magical-like conviction. And my favorite quote ever is from Winston Churchill. One man with conviction will overwhelm 100 who have only opinions. If you're worried about you're not good at sales, if you're worried about you're not good at getting investment from, you know, big investment companies, try and go and get conviction, and get conviction by doing hard shit and going through it. And the conviction you'll have, you won't need to worry about sales tactics. You will naturally just bring that across in your calls. And think about it like this. Imagine if you knew tomorrow, and again, it's probably a bad example to use, but you knew tomorrow that Bitcoin was going to go to $1 million. You just have proof that it was 100% going to happen, right? And you have to try and convince someone in your family to invest in Bitcoin. Imagine how you talk to them. Imagine the conviction, the words you'd use. Right. You wouldn't be thinking about sales processes. You'd just be speaking pure from the heart with just ruthless conviction. And that's what happens when you do these hard things. You believe in your products and your service and your team so much. And that's how you have a massive competitive advantage. But it all comes back to when your back's up against the wall, but you keep pushing forward when victory seems almost impossible, and making these massive challenges and figuring out along the way, man. But when you look back at those moments, like I do now, that was crazy times. But those 1,000 videos, that was probably the best thing that I ever did in building these businesses. And it was crazy as hell at the time, but I love that looking back, man.
Yeah. I think the whole, you know, the journey is the biggest thing. You know, we hit the goal and then there's just going to be another one. So like that journey and just enjoying it as much as you can in the moment, but then, you know, enjoying that when you look back too is such a motivator of what's going forward. I think when the rubber meets the road, I think, yeah, when you have those moments like do or die or whatever it is, I think that's what does separate a little bit of those who like want to be an entrepreneur and those who really have that conviction and are going to make it happen. Because, you know, Alex Ramosi always says, you know, the one who wins is the one who doesn't quit, you know, the one who goes long enough. And yeah, I think that's the
truth. We told that in school, by the way.
Right. I know, right? They figured all stuff like that. Well, that's my wife's teacher. We have that conversation all the time, but
you can stick Pythagoras's theorem up your ass. Because at the end of the day, man, if they told me that all you have to do to be successful in life is be willing to take 990 no's to get one yes, then I would have been set, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and if we could stop giving people participation trophies and actually make them like, you know, like a loser,
don't even get
that's okay. Like it's okay to lose. It's okay to have that feeling of like you lost, you did not win, you sucked more than the other person or the other team or whatever. Like that stuff, and just like it's just
that is so detrimental to people, that because the thing is we're in a capitalist society, right?
Yep.
So it's set up for winners and losers.
Yeah.
So sure, you can tell your kids to, you know, get participation trophies, but ultimately what happens if you go out there into the real world, there are going to be people who are winners. And what's going to happen is if you tell your kids that stuff, they're going to get dominated by those people.
Yep. And yeah, we just continue to see it. It's like there's no thick skin anymore. Like you can't have, and that's what is needed. And another thing, it's funny, my wife and I talked about this the other day. Because a kid in a class, she had found out, paid another student to take their test so they'd get a good grade. And of course, you know, in the school system that's frowned upon and everything. And I was like, but if you think about it, that kid's kind of smart. Like he was focusing on, because he wanted to focus on, I think, music or art or something. So he was doing all that and he didn't have time to study and do everything for the math. I was like, if you think about it, he was focused on what he's really good at, getting better at that and providing something of value through his talent. And he was smart enough and had the means to have someone else do where he was not strong enough.
Yeah, resourceful.
Yeah, resourceful. You know, and of course, maybe cheating, whatever, in the school system. But in the real world, like, that's how things work. Like, if you aren't good at something, you hire someone who's strong in that part. You bring someone on that's got that a talent and ability and be resourceful like that, or you build partnerships or collaborations. And you know, the school system is great, and there's a lot of great teachers trying to make a difference, but I think the system in general is lacking for students, not necessarily the teacher's fault, but I think just all in general, the participation trophies, the lack we want. And I think people try to do it out of love and caring, but they want to try to keep their kids or the people they know out of any sort of pain or discomfort by, you know, oh, here, you did great though. Here's a little ribbon trophy for trying. I'm like, no, they suck. Say, hey, you lost. Yeah. How's it feel? That's okay. How can we get better next time?
And what's interesting is that the winners don't do that.
Yeah.
The winners have a go at their kids when they lose.
Yeah.
And guess what? Then they turn out to be winners. It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Yeah. It's just recently, I don't know if you watch football or anything, but Jameson Winston was supposed to kneel at the end of the game and they were crushing. I forget who they're playing now. They're crushing them. They're supposed to kneel at like the 1 yard line, and him and the teammates on the field changed it. And they ended up getting another touchdown. And I think they won by like 3 or 4 touchdowns, and everyone's getting, he should have just kneeled. He didn't need to run up the score. I said, one, and like Shannon Sharp, he was all like, if I was, you know, I'd fire him today for doing that. And I was like, but if you think about it, these are pro athletes getting paid millions of dollars to play this sport to the best of their ability. They get bonuses for getting touchdowns and yardage and all this stuff. So why would they kneel it? Why? Just because the other team sucks? Like, sorry. Like, I couldn't believe when I was hearing Shannon Sharp say that. Like, he should not get fired for doing that. He's playing the game. And if the other team can't stand up to it, tough. Like, get better.
100%. And the best, one of the second, my second favorite quote ever of Teddy Roosevelt, the man in the arena, speaks to exactly that. Because there's so many critics, obviously we see on social media, so many people that think they're experts at everything, whether it's business, whether it's sports, and they sit on their couch at home, their sofa, and they're experts, right? And it's very easy to criticize someone who's actually in the arena trying and failing. But guess what? It's not the credit that belongs to that person. It's the credit to belong to the man or the woman that's actually in the arena. And even if they fail, they fail while daring greatly, yep, and they will never rest with those cold, timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. And that's what life's really about, man.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. And, you know, and so it's like we said, it's doing those hard things, having that discomfort, and that's okay because that stretches us and grows us. And, you know, a lot of times in business, it's taking enough of the right action, right, to grow and to build something. And so from your perspective, kind of shifting gears a little bit, you know, that hard thing sometimes is getting leads. It's sometimes connecting with the right people, enough people. So how, you know, could people learn from you today on how to improve their lead generation so they could bring more business in this year?
Yeah, I think that whole thing you talked about, the kid being resourceful, I think that's an interesting point, because I've been doing a little bit of mentoring just whilst I'm getting this newsletter business off the ground. And speaking to these people, and again, when you obviously speak to someone else about their business, it's easier to see holes. I understand that. But often, a lot of the time, you want to do things that are going to bring in revenue really quick now. So a few ideas around that. Ask your clients for referrals. You know, that's something that not many people do because, again, it's uncomfortable to do it, right? But guess what? You incentivize them and you tell them about your mission as well as obviously theirs. You build a true partnership. They'll want to help you out. So that's an easy way to get some new business. Build partnerships with other people in your industry. This is another easy way to get quick business. And then obviously outside of that, you need to focus on push and pull tactics. What I mean by that is at the start when no one cares about you, you've got no reputation, you just have to go and bang on doors. There's always going to be 3% of the market that are ready to buy. So regardless of what you hear about cold email doesn't work, like, let's just break that belief right now. 4 billion people are using email today. Like, cold email obviously works. It's a ridiculous thing to say cold email doesn't work. So if you send enough cold emails, if you send enough LinkedIn DMs, you will find business. It's just, are you willing to do the amount of volume it's going to take to get it? Mm. But you don't just want to focus on that. You also want to build content, which isn't going to get you any results right now. Yep. But over the time, that 3% of the market, well, you're actually going to go for the 97% of the market. And you're ultimately going to be planting seeds and seeds everywhere. And then when people see that you're actually doing good work, you can then harvest those seeds that you've planted. So what happens then is obviously you push. And it's the best way to say it, and this is great analogy for entrepreneurs in general, is at the start, it's like pushing the stationary train forwards. It takes every last ounce of energy to move it just an inch. But then you start gathering momentum, and then you can get people to join the train, and then it picks up steam, and then it becomes, and it's almost like a boomerang that you throw and it comes back. The pull marketing, people start coming towards you. You know, partners want to work with you. Tech companies want to be promoted by you. And this is what happens when you build content. But that takes time. Yep. So you've got to be willing to do the inputs required and track the inputs every single day and play a long-term game, but have fun every single day in the short term and create rewards around the fact that you know, sent 100 cold emails, for example.
Yeah.
And have an accountability partner that you're getting in the trenches with every single day. And then over time, you can build that content up. You can build up those partnerships. And if you want it badly enough, you will figure it out. I just don't think most people do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's great. Great advice with that in direction. And, you know, just personally from Elevate, it's like 2021, you know, right now, 2024 just started, you know, 3 years into it. And we're at a good spot. There's so much room for growth and improvement that we're headed towards. So like that's another thing. Like, we have to increase what we're doing to get to that next level. So there's still that work. So like, again, you know, you always have to, you know, reevaluate where you are and are you doing enough of the right actions? Yeah. At the beginning, there's a lot of different actions. And then once you kind of hone all that in, then, okay, are you continuing the outreach? Are you continuing the follow-ups enough? Like, and so what you said there, just doing it and setting a reward system and an accountability system, I think is a huge crucial piece to just staying the course and staying active and not giving up for the long haul.
Learn how to, this sounds like quite a strange thing to say, but I've done this and it really helps. Learn how to manipulate yourself. Mm. Everyone talks about don't manipulate others. Learn how to manipulate yourself, because then you can force yourself to do things. Yep. Because let's say you, I don't know, enjoy scrolling through TikTok. You can do that, but only after you've done your outbound message.
Yep.
And then you can manipulate yourself into doing the things you don't want to do. And suddenly you do that for 60, 90 days. You'll literally just be doing it by force of habit, because we're all creatures of habit. That's
how things will look so different. If you can do it for even that amount of time, you'll see so much change. I believe positive change, if you can do that, and then just stay with it.
Yeah, and then you've got that experience and that skill set for the rest of your life. Yeah. You know, no one's going to take that away from you.
Right.
And literally, you can do that within 90 days, which is actually quite incredible considering it's a short space of time.
Sure, absolutely. So, man, Nigel, this has been fantastic. I really enjoyed chatting with you today, and I know people listening are getting a lot of value from this. People want to hop on that newsletter so they can continue to learn from you, what you're doing, and get that valuable information. What's the best way that they can go about doing that?
Oh, we're going to have the domain live when this podcast goes live on Monday, Chris. So it's davidtogoliath.com, and you can subscribe there. I was saying to Chris before we started, it takes about 50 hours plus to build one of these newsletters. You know, we build comics around them with the storytelling we do. They're long, they're deep. But like I said, it's a front row seat to the chaos of what an entrepreneur is really doing. And documenting my comeback and building 100,000 subscriber community in public in 2024. We send out two newsletters, one on Tuesday, one on Thursday. The one on Tuesday is about the comeback. The one on Thursday is interviewing some of the best leaders of our generation. And all you have to do is subscribe for free and be part of the community and open up, share your vulnerabilities, and just go after it and be great. And the last thing I'll say, and this is a slogan for David to Goliath, keep dreaming like a giant, but fight and believe in your dreams like a goddamn underdog, baby.
Awesome, man. And thank you so much for sharing that. Guys, get connected with that newsletter. You can continue to learn, continue to grow. And Nigel, again, thanks so much for being on the Elevate Media Podcast today.
I appreciate you, Chris.
Thank you for listening to the Elevate Media Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. See you in the next episode.